couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went through the arduous process of trying to buy my daughter a car. How many of you have ever gone to buy a used car before? A few of you? Let me tell you about buying a used car. It's an interesting process because we all become very good mechanics during this process, right? We open the hood and we look under it and we check the oil and we smell things and we try and get things to do the right thing and we worry about this and we worry about that. The most dangerous thing you can do when going to buy a used car is to get a little too excited about what it looks like on the outside. You know what I mean? There was a car, in fact, that we found that my daughter didn't like at all, but who cares? I'm buying it for her. So I loved this car. I was like, that's the car I want. And they gave me the key, you know, they want me to start it. I'm like, dude, this car looks awesome. And I opened the door and immediately the smell of smoke hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, okay, we can overlook this. I really like the way this car looks. And then I started it up and it's sitting there idle and every once in a while it goes, I was like, I'm no mechanic, but that's not good. And so I remember several times I would say, I really wish that you would want this car. And my wife would remind me, you didn't like the way it ran and you didn't like the way it smelled on the inside. Why do you keep saying this? I was like, because it was pretty. It was pretty on the outside. And you're like, what in the world just got to do with encounters with Jesus? Well, today's title is Dirty Cups. And you're like, what in the world does that mean? Well, let me tell you a scripture that uses that very phrase. And it's found in Matthew chapter 23, and it starts in verse 25. It says, woe to you Pharisees of the woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean also. He goes on to say, woe to you, you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of dead men and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear as to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Ouch. Right? Now, I'm just going to warn you before we get into this sermon. The sermon isn't for us to all sit in our seats and decide that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were just terrible people. That's not our job here. Our job is not to sit in the judgment seat over the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. Our job is, what can we learn from this encounter with Jesus? I'm going to tell you a quick story. I am into sports, as many of you know, but I'm not one of those guys who gets awestruck too often. But I remember one time I was in Lake Tahoe, California, and we were pulling into this casino, because that's what you do when you go to Lake Tahoe, California, and I was forced to go. I actually don't really enjoy casinos, but anyway, we pull up into this casino and we find this parking spot right by the door and we're like, what? This is awesome, right? And we go to pull in and this other car comes in and he's going to pull in front of us. He was definitely behind us and he goes to pull in and we're like, well, there's six of us. And then one of them goes, do y'all know who that is? And I was like, I don't know who that is. And they're like, that's Jim Brown. And we're like, yo, some of you are like, some of you are like, who's Jim Brown? Well, Jim Brown's a famous football player. Jim Brown turned and looked at us, and he goes. And I went, I'm not taking on Jim Brown today. And so we let him have the parking spot. And afterwards, he got out, and he stood by his car and waited for us to park. And he goes, I was wondering if there was going to be trouble. And then he walked away, and I thought, you know, I watch him on TV and he seems like this nice guy, but I didn't bother to tell you that his wave was not with the right finger. So he was not a very nice guy, but I remember there's so many times when I think when I encounter somebody, I'm going to encounter them as their persona, right? The one that I get to see. But everybody's got stuff. You and I have stuff. And Jesus encountered the Pharisees, and when he walked up to them or when he started interacting with them, something was very clear to him. And it was that they were dirty on the inside, but they made sure they looked good on the outside. And so I want to ask you, are you like that? Are you one of those people? I'm sorry, I'm going to get on to some of you. But are you one of those people who are really concerned about how people perceive you more than about how you really are? You understand what I'm saying? Like you're the type of person that when somebody's coming to visit, all the other time in the week, your house is a disaster. But as soon as somebody's coming to visit, the closet is a disaster and the rest of the house looks great. Is that you? That's kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about it in a spiritual sense. We're talking about the fact that you're so concerned with presenting yourself as being somebody when in fact, inside, you're just full of dead men's bones. What we need is a transformation from the inside out, not the outside in. And so I thought it'd be really interesting for us to go look at all the woes that Jesus had for the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. And the first thing you're going to notice about the woes, about this outside clean cup, inside dirty cup, is they don't practice what they preach. You know people like that? You know people do as I say, don't not as I do? Don't watch my actions, do what I tell you to do, because what I tell you to do is right, what I do is wrong. Listen to how Jesus says it. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Now, I want you to listen to the nuance of this text, okay? So he says, I want you, don't be like the Pharisees. But first of all, listen to what they say. One of our problems in our society is we believe that if somebody tells us something that is true, but it comes from somebody who isn't, you know what I mean by this? Like, if the information comes from a bad source, we tend to not want to accept the truth of it. Jesus dispels that. He's like, they sit in Moses' seat. You have to listen to the things they say. It's not the things that they say that are wrong. It's the things that they do that are wrong. And I want to make this clear because sometimes in your life, there's a couple of things here. Sometimes in your life, you can get good advice from people who don't take their own advice. You feel me there? You can get good advice from people who don't take their own advice, but it is far easier to follow somebody who puts it into practice than it is to hear somebody say it in words. And so that's what Jesus says, that they don't practice what they preach. And I'm afraid that sometimes we get caught up in this. We have all the right words and all the right phrases, but we don't practice it. We say love one another. We sing these songs about loving God and being thankful, but then we go out into the world and the world gets to see a whole different side of us. There's the church us, you know, that comes here on Sundays and we put on our nice clothes and we smile when the preacher wants us to smile, and every once in a while we'll throw out an amen, but then we get into our world and we show them something completely different. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi who said, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. You know what he means by that? He's like, live the gospel. Live it. Live as somebody who has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Live as somebody who loves their neighbor as themselves. Live as somebody who understands what it is to be a good steward of the things God has given you. Live the life. Don't just say it. And the Pharisees didn't do this right. And let me tell you what he calls them. Hypocrites. Don't be that. That is not a way to a successful life. And in this encounter with Jesus, he will push this out into the forefront as he did with them. Number two, they want to be seen as holy. And this is something Jesus says. He says, everything they do is done to make people see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So I want you to listen. They want to be seen as, this is their goal. Now, a few weeks ago, I said something to you guys, and some of you were like, I don't really like that. So this is what I said. I said, you know, I don't really enjoy it when you title me. You know what I'm talking about? I don't enjoy it when you call me, you know, pastor. I don't enjoy that, because there's this, in our culture, there's this hierarchy in church. You know, the pastor stands on the stage. He's a little higher. In fact, I used to have a wonderful man who used to come here, and he was a Winter Texan, and every Sunday he'd see me, and at first he told me, he was like, man, I hope I'm anywhere near you in heaven. If I'm with anywhere near you in heaven, I'm good. And I told him, I was like, you know, if either one of us are in heaven, we're going to be good. And he said that he had a preacher one time tell him, he was like, you know, every once in a while I'll look down and give you a wave. And I from then on, I told him, you know, there's this idea that we all want to be lifted up into this position of holiness, or this, you know, I'm somehow going to achieve a better inheritance than somebody else. And I'm going to tell you something, that is off-putting. It's distracting from who the real glory belongs on. The real glory belongs on God. Now, if you call me that, it's okay. I'm not going to get mad at you. I just don't want you to see me as anything but your brothers in Christ. I am on the journey with you. God has given me an ability to speak the word, and I'm doing that, but that doesn't mean that He's given me the ability to not be tempted by sin and to struggle. So I struggle just like you do. And then one of the things the Pharisees like to do is they like to walk around and they like to put on all these garments that made them look really important, and so that people would give them honor. In our culture, I see the same thing happening in our churches. You know, I see the same thing, as if somebody wants to stand in this place of honor, as if they do some sort of respect because of the title that they wear. And there's one person that we give all our honor to, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why I don't want us, you know, it's really dangerous for us to get in a place where we want people to see us in our title instead of see us in our life. The next one he says is, they like to block entry into the kingdom of heaven. And that's a weird one, right? Because we want everybody to come. But listen to how Jesus says it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. You're like, well, we don't do that, right? I've seen this. I've seen us. In fact, one of the things he's going to say next time is, we make it so hard for people. We make the rules and regulations so difficult that nobody can feel comfortable in it. I've seen this happen in churches, and I'm just going to tell you, nobody gains entrance into the kingdom of heaven except by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't get there by how good you are. You can't get there by following all these rules and regulations. You get there by surrendering to the blood of Jesus Christ and living a life in response to that entrance, not for that entrance. Are y'all with me on this? Do y'all follow that? And so he says, you make it so hard that you shut the door in people's faces. You create this environment where people can't feel as though they've gained access to the God who has opened the door through His Son. And so he says, woe to you, Pharisees, teachers of law, you hypocrites. Stop doing that. And then it's even worse. They make the people they convert worse than them. Listen to what he says. Woe to you, teachers of law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice the child of hell that you are. You ever seen that? I'm going to tell you, I was part of a church at one time, and this couple came in, and they were converted, and they gave their life to Christ, and the preacher that was there was a very legalistic preacher, and he was somebody who was like, this, you know, dot all your I's, cross all your T's, this is the way, you know, if you mess up, you need to get forgiveness. I mean, he was very legalistic. And it's funny that these two people who came in so broken and needing salvation, it wasn't very long before they were the ones pointing out everybody else's problems. You know, they would actually have little meetings with people and be like, you know, we need to talk. I've noticed lately that you haven't been at church much, and God's not happy with you. Now, there's a difference between being encouraging to somebody and being judgmental of somebody. They didn't ask why they weren't there. They didn't ask how they could help them. They didn't ask any of that. They were in judgment. They sat in the judgment seat of these people. And that's what happens when we convert people to this legalistic mindset, is we only convert more legalists. You don't get less legal. You get more legal. The rules, if that's good. In fact, that's what happened to the Jews. The Jews had laws, right? And then they were like, well, if it's not good for you to touch somebody who is, or touch a dead body, then we're going to change it. We're going to make it where you can't get within so many feet of a dead body. If it's not good for this to happen, then we're gonna create an even bigger chasm between what you can do and can't do. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were really good at converting people. And the scripture says makes them twice the son of hell or the child of hell that they themselves are. That's harsh language. They were more concerned with value than holiness. And this one's an interesting one. So, woe to you blind guides. You say if we swear by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say anyone who swears by the altar, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it, and anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it, and anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. And so he's like, you guys are missing the point. You're so interested in what's outside that you're not doing anything with what's inside. And I'm just going to tell you, I really fear this is happening in modern day churches. I really fear that we're so concerned with looking just the right way. And we get so concerned with the value. You know, we get concerned in our culture, we get concerned with how much the offering is, or we get concerned with how many people showed up in church that Sunday. We need to be concerned with how many people are being transformed by the gospel. That needs to be the thing we're concerned with. But these Pharisees were concerned about so many other things, and I'm afraid that we fall into this trap more often than not. The next one's an interesting one. I'm sure you've heard this phrase, you strain at gnats and swallow camels. How many of you heard that phrase before? How many of you know what that phrase means? Like, right? It'll make sense in just a second. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Here's what he's saying. You guys are so focused on the things that aren't as important. He's not saying they're not important. Did you notice that? He was like, you should have done both. You should give your tithes. You should do that. That's important. But it's not as important as love and justice and mercy. It's not as important as those things. You should have done the former, the latter, and then also done the former. I showed up at church. I gave my tithe. I even showed up at church on a Saturday. You know, and we checked that little mark. And what Paul or what Jesus is saying is like, that's not what I want from you. All those things are important, but they're not the important thing. What's important is justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the things that matter. These are heart issues, not externalities. He goes on to say that they are greedy and self-indulgent. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. Can you imagine hearing from the King of Kings that you are full of greed and self-indulgence? Can you imagine being so consumed with what you get that you're not consumed with the giver? You see, that's what greed and self-indulgence is. It's all about me. It's all about what I get. It's all about what God does for me. It's all about how God interacts with me. It's all about what the blessings that I have. It's all about how I can get mine. And he's saying that's all about outside stuff. And unfortunately, all too often we fall into these traps of hypocrisy in our own lives. All my life, I've had this discussion with people, and I'm sure you have too. Here's why I don't go to church. Because it's just a bunch of hypocrites in there. Y'all heard that? Everybody heard that argument at least once? Just a bunch of hypocrites are there. Best response I've ever heard to that is, well, there's always room for one more. Yeah. Here's the thing. We tend to miss what hypocrite means. The word hypocrite literally means to play a part, to play act, to wear a mask. It means to pretend you're something you're not, which is what the Pharisees were doing. They were pretending with their long phylacteries and their long tassels. They were pretending to be these holy people who spent zero time actually becoming holy people. That's what it means. They wanted everybody to see that on the outside there's something, and they matter, and that they're being changed. I'm going to tell you a little secret that church people still don't really get, I don't think. It is more powerful for people to see you struggle through your mess than for you to pretend you have no mess. Are you with me on this? Like, it's time for the people of the world to recognize that it, because I'm a Christian, doesn't mean all my troubles went away, all my sins disintegrated. I struggle with sin to this day. You struggle with sin to this day. And it really helps for people who are in their pit to know that you're not telling them that they need to be like you in that you have figured it out. You're telling them they need to be like you because you know who has it figured out. Do you understand the difference? We're not trying to tell people we're holy. In fact, we struggle with this, especially in our church life. We struggle with telling people that we're struggling because we're not supposed to, right? We struggle with telling people we sin because we're not supposed to. We struggle with telling people about our struggles because we're not supposed to struggle. About our depression. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole subsect in Christianity that will hide in the pits of their despair not to let somebody know that them as a Christian suffer from depression. Did you know that? Like, there are people like, but I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be depressed. Well, but you are, right? I mean, let's deal with where you are, not what you think you should be, so that we can get you where you ought to be. And that's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is all about you putting out a show for somebody. You just want people to believe you've got it figured out. I told this story before, but I'll tell you now. When I was a kid, I was a young adult, I was really struggling with sin in a lot of ways. And I was trying to figure out however I could be accepted by God in my sinful reality. You see, because I went to church every Sunday, and in church every Sunday, I got this idea that all these people had it figured out. I was the only one sitting in that pew who was still struggling with a sin I'd been struggling with for years. I was the only one who would praise God on Sunday and fall on Sunday at 12:01. I was the only one. I was convinced of this. And then I started trying to figure out, how do I get from where I am to where I'm going? Do you know what I came up with? I came up with a brilliant plan. Call on the name of Jesus? No. Pray for forgiveness and seek God's counsel in all things? No. I had a better plan than that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a preacher. Y'all laugh, but that's literally my train of thought. I was like, there is no way that a preacher struggles like I struggle. There's no way. I am fully convinced that if I start preaching, then my life will, because I'm going to be in the Word all the time, and if you're in the Word all the time, all your troubles just fall away. I was convinced of this, so much so that I drugged my wife and family all over the state of Texas, into New Mexico, into Arkansas, looking for a church that would accept me so I could be a sinless man. And we landed in Arkansas, and I was excited. Boy, I hit the ground running. I was ready, willing, and able to be all things to all people in every way, and I was ready for it all. What I wasn't ready for is the fact that you simply doing something like reading the Word every day and studying for a sermon does not solve your sin problem. In fact, mine got way worse. Mine got way worse because before I was busy. Like, I was working with my hands from the morning to when I woke up to almost when I went to bed. So my sin problem only had a little bit of time to actually rear its ugly head. Now I'm sitting in front of a computer all day, every day. Now my sin problem is before me, constantly. And I remember thinking, God, I don't understand. But I also remember thinking, I can never let anyone know. I can never let anyone know that I struggle in this way. Do you know why? Because I'm not supposed to. I have to pretend I'm holy because people are looking to me. And I remember when I got freed from that. And to this day, I have more impact on people by walking through their sin with them, not doing it with them, but walking through it as in sharing my own story with them, letting them know of my own struggles, and helping them overcome them the godly way, and not pretending that I have it all figured out. That was a destructive thing for me to do that God used in a mighty way. Hypocrisy isn't about you failing. Hypocrisy is about pretending you don't. Hypocrisy isn't about you not being as holy as you think you are and pretending. It's about you pretending that you are more holy than you really are. Look, if your perfection could have ever been enough to warrant your entrance into the kingdom of heaven, then the Son of God never needed to go on that cross. It's not enough. And you will always rely on the blood of Jesus Christ for your sins. Always. And so what Jesus says to these Pharisees, I hope he never has to say to us. I hope he never has to say to us that we don't practice what we preach. We only want to be seen as holy, not that we're really holy. That we tend to block entry for other people. That we make our converts worse than we are. That we're concerned with value rather than holiness. And we strain at gnats to swallow camels. And we are greedy and self-indulgent and hypocrites. I pray what Jesus says to us is more what he says to the sinner who comes to him and falls on his face and says, "Away from me, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus welcomes him into his home and into his ministry. That's where we need to be. We recognize our brokenness, but we're striving for holiness. And we do it together. There's nothing more powerful than to walk up to somebody and say, "I'm struggling in this area," and them say, "I too am struggling in that area," or "I once struggled in that area." It's time that we learn to have encounters with one another in a real way. Jesus had a real problem with those Pharisees. Don't think he won't have the same problem with us if we act just like they did. His problem wasn't that they were sinful. His problem wasn't that the inside of their cup wasn't clean. His problem with them was that they tried to make it look like the inside of their cup was clean instead of being who they were. On this journey that we go through, there's several places that we have an opportunity to launch. We have an opportunity to get off of the road we're on and onto another road. And this is one of those opportunities. Maybe you've been living your whole life believing that you had to hold this facade for the world. I want to encourage you today, drop the facade. Stand before God knowing who you are. Stop pretending to be something you're not. If you're the person who's sitting out there saying, "You know what? I would have given my life to Christ, but I've got to get all this stuff figured out first. I've got to dot all my I's and cross all my T's." You're missing the point. The I's were dotted by Christ and the T's were crossed by Christ. All you need to do is come to Him and surrender to Him. If you've been a Christian most of your life and never really felt like you've progressed, let today be the day that you launch. And one of the ways to launch is to be honest about where you are and where you want God to take you. God is a holy God who has sent His holy Son to rescue an unholy us, to bring us into His family. And we welcome you into that today. If you need prayer this evening or this morning, I implore you, don't let it go by. Don't let today go by. If you've never given your life to Christ and today is the day that you feel compelled to do so, don't let that go by. It's time to allow the holiness of God to be upon you and stop pretending that you've got it all figured out. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much that you are a holy God. That everything that you promise comes to. Everything that you've offered is available to us. And I just pray, Father, if there's anybody out here today who feels like they've been walking this path where their encounter with Jesus has always been about them trying to pretend that they've got it all together, that today be the day that they drop that, that they take off their mask and they let us see the inside of their cup, they let you see the inside of their cup, and they allow you to do the cleaning so that they will be fully clean, both inside and out. Father, we praise you for your Son, Jesus, who not only died for us but also lived for us and showed us the way to go. Father, I praise you, and I pray that you will prick our hearts and that you will allow us to, anything that's blocking us, we will surrender to you today. Whether it be a reestablishment of our commitment or for the first time turning our lives over to you. I pray that fear not stand in the way of that, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, let's stand and worship together.